Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-author, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super 2018 fantastic. Happy New Year. How are you, my friend?
Man, I am doing great. I don't know about you, but does the year 2018 come across as very futuristic? It seems like it does to me. I mean, it's just one of those.
You know, that's weird because I thought 2017 sounded really kind of like we're really getting up there now, you know? And, yeah, 2018 is just even more so. You know, in 2 years, it's going to be 2020, and that's one of those very futuristic sounding years. So.
Well, I, as something I had to do to date something, you know, I had to put out something 2 years today on the calendar, and so I'm putting it down for January the 2nd because it was something I dated for yesterday plus 2 years, and January 2nd 2020, I go, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, here we are living in the future.
So, that's just wacky. I mean, that's the future right there. Yeah,
that's
indeed
right.
Well, we are moving right along through the future. This is our first show together in 2018. We did have, earlier this week, we had a show with a fast forward show with Robin Hanson talking about his book, The Elephant in the Brain. And although we said we'd be back to three shows a week by this week, I think we're going to just do two shows this week. That schedule still seems to be working. And in our defense, there was a holiday this week. So I feel that, you know.
Yeah, we're getting cranked back in.
We're getting cranked back in. And besides, this is, for those of you keeping score at home, our 699th podcast. So next week we're going to be doing an all-week-long celebration of our 700th show. And we just, you know, I thought it would be good to start a week with that. We'll just make that the whole week. So,
yeah.
You know, and plus that gave us the opportunity this week to do something that we talked about all during our holiday series that we hadn't done, which was, you know, a little dedicated quality geek time. So I thought, hey, tonight, let's just do the year in geek, a kind of a geek out roundup for the whole year. All the geeky topics that we've been talking about throughout 2017, what stands out in our minds, what's the big geeky stuff? And I got a pretty good list of geeky stuff here. I'm sure you do too. How do you want to start this? Should I start or do you want to start?
Yeah, I've got about a half dozen things at least here, Phil, that we can get into. So you could start, I can start, doesn't really matter.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start because I'm looking at one and we just got to get it over with, and that's Game of Thrones. Season 7 was this year. It was a big deal because, you know, I don't know, you don't follow Game of Thrones, is that right, Stephen? You're not a reader of the books, not a viewer of the show, is that correct, or it's not a thing?
I got started with the first book and got about a third into it, and I think I've watched the first episode, and it's a commitment, that series, isn't it?
It is. You're signing away a big piece of your life if you get hooked on the books and then the TV show. It's like it's an awful lot of time. Well, season 7 was big because they covered more ground than probably the previous 3 or 4 seasons combined, and we're finally getting these big payoffs with, you know, not to spoil too much, but zombie battles and serious dragon action confirming long brewing, you know, fan theories about the identity of key characters, all that kind of stuff. It's like big, big payoffs. So, you know, 7 years in, you're getting the big payoffs. And of course, the final few episodes, season eight, is going to be coming up probably not until 2019. So this was like our Game of Thrones fix for almost a year and a half. And it was good, but, you know, it's like once they put the foot on the accelerator, it was almost like they were covering too much ground. So those of us who were complaining that it was going too slow, now it feels like maybe it's going faster than we would like it. But that's how fans are, you know. We're never satisfied. Anyway, it was very exciting stuff. Great action in Game of Thrones Season 7. And I don't know. I'll definitely be back for Season 8. I guess that's about all I can say about
Game of Thrones. Signed up.
I've put in the time at this point. It would be crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
you've got some sunk cost there that I don't have. So
exactly. You know. Yeah. No, you can walk away. Yeah, absolutely. You're in great shape, and you know that's worth thinking about doing for sure. So that's my first item. What do you got?
Well, you know, we talked and had a series of shows really about Blade Runner 2049.
Oh yes, we did. Yes,
I would recommend to our listeners, if you have any interest in the, you know, the original Blade Runner, the sequel, how they work together, some of the tough questions that it talks about and that it brings up, and why critics liked it and the fans maybe not so much. You could do worse than listen to our shows on it. We kind of broke it down, and I had a good time doing that, Phil, and that was.
That was fun stuff. You know, I was very trepidatious about the Blade Runner sequel. Ambivalent at best about that. And I can't tell you what a just profound experience I found that movie to be. Just visually beautiful. And we're going to come back to beautiful movies because I think we're going to talk about The Last Jedi here before the evening is through. So this has been a good year for pretty movies. I mean, just stunning, incredible, you know, opening up new vistas of the imagination kind of movies. I would put Blade Runner 2049 right up there with Avatar, right, in terms of just kind of creating this space and putting you right into it, and right up there with the original Blade Runner, right, which I think is really saying something. And just a intriguing story. It stayed with a lot of the original precepts, but it went off and added new things. It's really what you look for in a sequel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And it borrowed from other sources. You know, we talked to at length about how there's a whole segment that was basically, if you didn't see the movie,
a tribute
Her,
to or remake of. Yeah, absolutely.
Of Her. I mean, there's very much a segment in there that dealt with the same issues in very much the same way. But it was great. I really liked Blade Runner 2049. That was a particularly good movie. I'm going to tell you though, Phil, it's one of those things. It's that you know I'm not likely to see a bunch of times.
Right. Right.
Hey, we're going to invite over our 20 best friends, and we're going to sit around and watch Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, put some popcorn in the microwave. Let's watch Blade Runner 2049. No, it's not that kind
of movie. No. That ain't happening. It's not your party. It's not your party movie, but it's a deep thinking movie. Kind of reminded me of some deep thinking sci-fi, like perhaps Moon, if you'll recall that one.
Oh yeah. Yep.
It was, stuff like that. It's not happy fun time, but it's some good thinky stuff. Liked it.
I like that. Food for the brain. Yeah. Absolutely. And it was the rarest of things. It was a movie that I was surprised by how much I liked it. And I hope we get more of those in 2018. It's great once in a while to think, oh, I don't think it's going to be good, and be just wrong, you know, and go, oh, actually, it was pretty awesome. So that was good. But, you know, looking back, I don't think it's not like I sit down and watch the original Blade Runner all that often either, you know. I think of it as a great and important movie, but, I was flipping channels the other night, and I was watching This Is Spinal Tap, and my wife is like, are you really watching that again? I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like, I know when to laugh.
You know. Hey, don't make me turn it up to 11. You know I will.
Exactly. It didn't even occur to me to say that. I should have threatened to turn the volume up to 11. That's exactly what I said. But yeah, that's a good choice. Okay, now I got another item. Trilogy, the Babaverse trilogy concluded. The first Babaverse trilogy concluded in 2017 with the book All These Worlds. And we talked about it. Did we do a whole show on it, or did we just do a geek out about it? I can't remember. But it seems like
we just did a geek out. But you know, we've done several geek outs about I think maybe the original book. I think every time a book is released in that series, we've mentioned it in geek out. So it's good stuff.
It was a very satisfying conclusion. He tied all the threads together. There were parts of it, as we discussed, where we felt that things could have moved on along a little faster. The thing is, it's such a wonderful premise that it's hard not to be eager to see him just take it to some of the more, I don't know, high concept possibilities that premise can include. Not that he didn't. I mean, it's the Babaverse trilogy is great. I mean, you got space battles, you got a lot of humor in there, a lot of pop culture references. It's in a really, I think, scientifically grounded kind of exploration of what it would be like to have von Neumann probes kind of pushing their way out into the galaxy and sort of taking humanity along with it for the ride. So it's good hard science fiction and really entertaining stuff. But I would say if there's one thing I'm looking for, it's a much more expansive kind of a vision in the next set of books, assuming there's going to be one. I haven't officially heard that there is, but I assume there will be.
Well, the author, I think he's kind of left it at this, that he's got more stories to tell. I think that's not committing to writing it necessarily, but he certainly has left it open to go further into that fictional universe. I can't highly recommend enough the Audible audio books.
Yeah,
that trilogy.
Absolutely.
That's how
I don't know the actor's name
who
reads that, but he makes it.
Yeah. The guy that narrates those Audible books, man, just great, just great. That's one of the things I gave my oldest son was a paper copy of the first book. And he proceeded to begin reading it again. He said, you know what? I can't read it without hearing the narrator's voice. I mean,
I'd hear it all okay if the next book came out and I just sat down and read it. I think if I've spent enough hours listening, I think I would probably hear it okay. But if you can't do, not to spoil too much, but if you can't do Admiral Akbar's voice in your head, you really have to go the Audible version, okay? That's a critical part of this. He does Homer Simpson really well. The one person he can't do is Patrick Stewart, I would say, right? That's the you kind of have to make that one up yourself. It's like, well, I know how he talks, so it's okay. But I think you're right. That is the perfect set of books to listen to on Audible, for sure. It's because he really well, I hear that voice, and I think that's Bob. I think if I ever met that guy in person, I would think he was Bob, pretty much, you know, or one
he
of
owns
Bob's.
It. He really does. He does a great job with those books. And so every one of those books, all three, just fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Only one other book have I enjoyed as well, and I might as well jump into that now.
Go.
In 2017, I finally sat down and read Ready Player One and enjoyed it. And I think I may have mentioned it on a geek out.
We talked about it. I would have thought that was 2016 when we were talking about Ready Player One, or I would have had that on the show too. Because or you mean you read it? Because I listened to the audio, the Audible version with Will Wheaton reading it. Have you heard? Yeah. Dude.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I did. I listened to it, but also sat down and read it as
well.
And
read it. Oh, okay. Gotcha. I'm with you. Okay.
And it's just a really good book. I guess it may help that I'm a child of the 80s.
Right.
And those,
right.
And every single one of the cultural
that
references.
That book is written for you, man. I mean, it is.
Yeah, I mean, somebody somewhere said, you know what, I really want to entertain Stephen Gordon. What can I do? and then they sat down and wrote Ready Player One. It would have been a shame had I not read it, right?
I mean, the fact that there's a life or death tournament of the video game Joust in there, just that alone, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to read that book? If nothing happened.
You know, I know it's going to be a very different animal than the book, but I'm looking forward to see what Steven Spielberg does with the movie. And that,
yeah,
I think
too.
That comes out pretty quick here, early.
It will be out soon. I've seen the trailer a couple times. I have to say that there are aspects of the trailer that I'm very excited about, and parts of it I'm like, well, I don't know. I pictured it different. But you know, you have to let that go, right? You have to just kind of go with what the movie delivers, and I think it should be pretty cool. One thing that's interesting is Steven Spielberg has some of his own canon to deal with in this movie, right? Because some of the pop culture references that come up, and you know, realities that these people are dealing with in this virtual reality that they're in, called, what's it called, the Oasis, come right out of Steven Spielberg movies. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he can be ironically detached from his own stuff. That should be and I'm really looking forward to, and I hope they do something with it, how they're going to handle the whole War Games thing, right? Because
that is one of my favorite
sequences in the book, and I'm really curious as to how that's going to play out in the movie.
Yeah, it would be interesting. You know, cast Matthew Broderick and de-age him quite a bit, right?
Well, you don't have to, right? It's just the movie, right? So it's really just a matter of putting, I don't know, we shouldn't spoil too much for people who haven't read the book, anyway, it's going to be cool to see how that, all plays out. And, I think, whose turn is it? Oh, because you did Ready Player One, so now it's my turn. Is that right?
Right. That's right.
Okay. I've got a general category here. So we'll paint in broader strokes here because we're going to run out of time. And I said comic book movies, and then I've got two that stand out in my mind from the DC universe, oddly enough, Wonder Woman and Justice League. And those are about the only two I think I saw all year. Anyway, no, I take that back. I saw Logan, which I enjoyed that quite a bit too. But
did you happen to see Spider-Man Homecoming?
I still haven't seen Spider-Man. I meant to do that over Christmas and I never got around to it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that at some point soon. I would say that based on our discussions, that sounds like that was the superhero movie of the year, pretty much, huh?
Well, it's hard to say. I very much like Spider-Man Homecoming. It was very good. They got Peter Parker right in so many ways. Thor Ragnarok was a lot of fun. I don't guess you've ever read Planet Hulk.
Although I understand that it's referenced, or it's sort of a source material for Thor Ragnarok. Not exactly,
is,
but sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. They it's referenced pretty hard there. You know, right in the big middle of Thor Ragnarok, which is itself was its own series, right? Its own comic series. Ragnarok was. But it's just a lot of fun. I mean, Thor Ragnarok was a lot of fun. I recommend it. Spider-Man Homecoming was as well. Wonder Woman was great. Of the two DC movies we got this year, Wonder Woman was definitely my favorite.
No question. To me, the most exciting part about the whole DC thing is that they made two credible, decent movies, right? One of them really good, and one of them pretty watchable anyway. So, it speaks to potentially good things to come. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you hope that they might actually pull this DC cinematic universe off. You know, who knows? We might see something good and really good before it's done with. But Wonder Woman so far is definitely my favorite of the series. And,
I would agree.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that for sure. And I've got to catch up. I do have to watch my Marvel movies. Both the Thor and the Spider-Man movies, I'm conspicuous that I haven't watched either of them. So I'm going to have to get caught up on those two. And I would did you see Logan? What did you think of Logan?
Logan is, it's an interesting standalone movie.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the X-Men continuity.
Or does any X-Men movie have anything to do with the X-Men continuity? Is kind of the question.
Yeah. So sometimes they pay the lip service to it at least, but here not so much.
Deadpool says? These timelines are so confusing, right? It's
exactly.
Even people in the movies don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, but it was great, and it was. You remember the old cowboy movie Shane?
Yes.
And which was kind of remade in a way when Kurt Russell made Soldier.
That's interesting. You know, yeah, I guess so. Okay. Yeah.
It's this idea of, you know, kind of a cursed hero, right?
Right.
I mean, it's and he knows he's cursed, and yet he never gives up, and he's and continues to, you know, and even if he personally can't benefit from all of his, you know, heroics, he's going to do it anyway. And
right.
It was good to see. It's a good way to for Hugh Jackman to put that character to bed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was an excellent end to his run as Wolverine. And it makes me wonder, can anyone ever match Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? You know, they're going to have to recast that role at some point. Pity the poor actor that's got to take that up, you know?
Yeah. What has to happen is they have to de-emphasize him as a character, right?
Right.
There has to be other more important things going on. And then we get used to somebody else being Wolverine, and then maybe they can make him more important. But yeah, I mean, a movie that is 30% Wolverine with somebody else playing him is going to be very strange at this point.
Yeah.
They have the advantage with Professor Xavier that they've had two timelines, right? So they've had two actors playing him, and you know, that kind of works. It's like, well, now we've got this kind of young to middle-aged guy playing him, and you have continuity with that. But Hugh Jackman, I mean, how many movies has he played that character in? It's got to have been a dozen.
I counted it up at one point. Something like seven.
Is it?
There's the, you know, X-Men 1, 2, and 3. And of course, then there's been three Wolverine movies if you count Logan, right?
Yep.
And then Days of Future Past. First Class. So that's I'm counting six, seven, eight actually now. If you count
Apocalypse,
his,
right?
Cameo
X-Men Apocalypse, so we're nine.
Yeah, nine, and a couple of those it was just a cameo.
Yeah,
nine films. Yeah, that counts. So yeah,
until Iron Man came along, he was going to be the guy who played a character in more movies than anybody, I think. But now probably. Robert Downey's going to hold that title in the end.
Oh, yeah. I think Robert Downey Jr. is enjoying stepping back a little bit. I got the feeling from Spider-Man Homecoming, Phil, that Robert Downey Jr. is enjoying playing the father figure to Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I bet he is.
You will see a chemistry between those two actors that's, you know, very – father-son kind of thing going on, and it's interesting. You'll like it as you watch that movie. I look forward to getting your thoughts after you've seen Spider-Man Homecoming. So,
well, you know, we should mention, speaking of geek stuff and speaking of comic book movies, a big thing that happened in 2017, right at the end of the year, is that Disney acquired 20th Century Fox, right? So,
right.
That's going to bring the X-Men.
We may see the X-Men in the MCU, right?
Absolutely. And I'm hoping it also means that Marvel Entertainment will do something really cool with the Fantastic Four. I'm hoping to see a resurrection of the Fantastic Four. And to have those characters all merged together, the way they all are in the comics, right? It would be really
cool. Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, we've already had a great Fantastic Four movie, but it was called The Incredibles. So,
yeah, exactly. That has yet to be matched. It's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that does it for the comic book movies then. What else? Other movies, other things you want to talk about?
Okay, well, the Planet of the Apes trilogy was completed in 2017, and man, that was a great trilogy. I mean, just loved it. And to me, there's now that this trilogy is completed, Phil, it's these three movies and Charlton Heston's original, and that's all the apes I need to see.
That's about all the apes you're ever going to need. Yeah, I think so. Well, are they going to do more? Are they going to do a later series, or kind of a maybe not?
It seems to me that when they finished this last movie, Phil, they finished the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
Now, if there's more money to be made and there's a demand for it, we'll get more apes movies. But you would have to almost place it in the timeline after Charlton Heston's astronaut shows up or something.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I wonder if they'll, now that the enough time has passed and we've forgotten all about the what year was it even 2000 the one right with Mark Wahlberg in it, because I wouldn't mind seeing Andy Serkis and just this whole crew take on that story, right? I think that might be worth doing. But we need a 21st century Charlton Heston. That's the problem. Who could take up that mantle? That's that's right. The problem. But something
I'll say
about
actor as well.
yeah, for sure. Something I'll say about that movie though is something they did very well in that movie and also in Logan is you had the girl character. Girl hero character, with really good actresses in there and integral to the part. And I didn't feel like I was being manipulated or anything that they're trying to create girl role models or any of that kind of stuff. It just all totally worked right in both of those movies. I felt that was handled really well. And I love the character of Nova. I love that they used that name from the original Planet of the Apes. And I just, everything about that movie just really clicked for me. I love the ape from the zoo or whatever, who liked to wear clothes. I mean, just all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was a great character. That was a great character. Yeah. They made some interesting and good choices throughout that entire series. But I would say that they ended real strong for an already good trilogy. They ended really strong. So, the whole trilogy, I highly recommend to any listener who needs to catch up on it or whatever. Yeah,
they get better. That's the thing. It starts out good, but each movie is progressively better than the one before. I think it's a rare series that works that way. And then speaking of series of movies where things maybe get better and maybe don't. Okay, shall we talk about Star Wars, Stephen?
Well, Phil, I think that you need to add to the list the things that you don't bring up at a family gathering. Religion, politics, and your feelings on The Last Jedi.
I want to disprove that right now, okay? Because I think that people can agree to disagree and talk about this like civilized people. I really think so. I think,
I don't think so, Phil.
Called me Grandpa Simpson and I called you a mindless fanboy on Facebook, that doesn't mean that we can't be civil, get along talking about this. Actually, I don't want to give the impression that I didn't like the movie because I actually enjoyed it a lot. I liked it quite a bit. I've got a lot of questions and I've got a lot of tweaks for it. But generally speaking, going back to what I said earlier, this is one of the most beautiful movies of any kind ever made. I mean, just gorgeously shot. You think about Blade Runner 2049 and Star Wars. I know that the big special effects science fiction movies aren't typically put in this category, but they could be Academy Award winners for best cinematography in any year prior to this year. I mean, it's just like, these are just beautiful, beautiful movies and just a lot of attention to detail in a lot of things, not just the photography and the special effects, but just a lot of careful, loving attention to detail in that movie that I really liked. And then some things I'm not wild about, but at the end of the day, I'm not one of these people, I don't feel my childhood has been raped. I don't, I don't think that, I can't be friends with people anymore because they liked it or any of that kind of stuff. I just, to me, it's kind of like The Force Awakens. It was a movie I liked a lot, but I would have done some things differently. I think that's kind of my, the end of the day.
People no less than Mark Hamill have stated, You know what? There's some interesting decisions were made with the Luke character that I would not have made these decisions. This
right.
is not what I
right.
would have done with the character. And I thought it was interesting that he was, you know, while promoting this movie would say that, right?
Obviously, you know, yeah. he doesn't have to worry about whether he's going to be casting any more of them, so he can say whatever he wants to, right? But I'm sorry, not to spoil too much.
Yeah.
Here, just one mild spoiler, though, okay? Because I rewatched Attack of the Clones recently, and which of the trilogy, the prequels, is kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
I like the Obi-Wan stuff, where he's off, you know, going to the clone planet, and there's some good Obi-Wan stuff in there that I enjoy quite a bit. But it occurred to me that there's a missing scene in Attack of the Clones, you know, before Yoda shows up with the clone army and rescues everybody. It would be
yeah.
the scene back there on Kamino, the clone planet, where Yoda says, okay, by the way, you're all free to go because the Jedi don't believe in slavery, and so we're not taking you as slaves. If you want to come work for us, you can, right?
Yeah.
right? I mean, that should have been in there, that, like, the Jedi don't believe in slavery. My biggest problem with The Last Jedi, okay, I don't have any room in my head for a book-burning Yoda or Luke. Okay, that's all.
Here's the thing: it didn't happen.
Well, I know it didn't, but they wanted to, right? And Yoda thought he did, or did he think?
No. Yoda, force pumped you, Ben. Hey, yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's what I said. There's too much misdirection going on. Okay, but
Yoda was doing his typical misdirecting. He says there's nothing in there that Rey didn't already have, right?
Right. But I thought he meant that she knew, but she actually had the books, and therefore they were
yeah,
never burned.
Exactly. He was burning an old tree is all he was doing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But
I could do without book burning Luke, too.
To see
you know?
Luke as a shell of a shattered man is tough. It's
yeah.
tough. And to see our heroes, you know, broken down like that is not – you know, that's not necessarily the most fun kind of thing. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It was interesting and Luke came through. So,
I will say by and large, a lot of people are really upset about the Luke stuff other than burning books. I was really okay with it. I thought that was an interesting arc. I know Mark Hamill doesn't agree, but I thought that was kind of an interesting direction to take the character. I didn't have a big problem with it myself, especially because, as you said, and since we're into spoilers, he does come through in the end, right? He's Luke Skywalker before the movie's over, and we can feel good about it. One thing I'll say, because I know we're going to run out of time, but there's so much we could say about this. We'll probably have to do a separate show just about The Last Jedi. What did you think about the relationship between Rey and Kylo Ren?
It's complicated.
Yeah.
I think
it's fascinating.
I
was really intrigued that, like, not only are they, like, communicating with each other across these vast interstellar distances, but there's this interesting intimacy and familiarity between the two, right, that immediately is
right.
introduced. And it's just like... this could go, I mean, because you talk about, you know, forget the past, kill it if you have to, whatever Kylo says, you want to do something really bold and different, right? Hook these two up and, you know, have a new kind of alliance between the dark side and the light side. Obviously, there's a lot of problems with that, but that would be bold. And the two characters work great together, so I don't know. We'll see what happens
in
episode 9.
You know, when they cast him originally in The Force Awakens, I'm thinking, oh, that guy? I mean, they're casting some sort of whiny millennial. Of course, you know, that's not him at all. That particular actor is a, you know, retired serviceman and everything. I mean, he's a tough guy. Okay. He's played a whiny millennial, but that's not him. But it's interesting they didn't go the the second coming of Darth Vader route with this character at all.
No,
they,
it's different.
They allow him to be the one. Basically, he's the anti-Luke. He's the whiny, you know,
the whiny guy who goes to the dark side and stays whiny. Yeah,
yeah, and his insecurity is. You know, you think, oh man, this is just going to be brutal to watch. But his insecurity is. is such a huge part of his character, and makes that character so interesting to me.
Yeah, it does. He clearly understands that you have to break with the past, which is appealing to her, and it's kind of a major theme of the movie. So it's really interesting to see a temptation to the dark side other than anything we've ever seen before. You talk about in Return of the Jedi when the Emperor is trying to tempt Luke. It's never going to work because Luke doesn't care about being powerful or any of that kind of stuff. And if you look at the prequels, it's just this convoluted thing about he's worried she's going to die, and it's all this fear, and his mother died, and it's like you can appreciate what's happening, but you don't really identify with it. But here it's like you see a young person who's kind of torn between two worlds, and there's this old world and there's this young world. And here's this guy who is kind of in the same position she's in, and he's gone a different way. I mean, it's like for the first time, you really kind of see where there might be a draw to the dark side. You know what I mean? It's like it feels more real in the relationship between those two than it ever has in any of the previous incarnations of Star Wars.
It's interesting, and they've set themselves up for a very important movie. Now, there's a practical problem here, though. They've painted themselves into a corner just a little bit.
I think maybe they have, yes.
Because the character that's alive and well, the actress is gone,
right?
And the character that's gone, those actors are alive and well. So,
right.
I don't know how they do service to Leia's character and to Carrie Fisher as an actress in the ninth movie, and without it seeming weird.
Somehow they should have worked it where the whole Laura Dern thing, and I love Laura Dern, okay? She's awesome. I'm a big fan. And you can put her in a pink wig and an evening gown and say she's an admiral, and I'm fine with it, okay? So people have trouble with that.
Yeah, people had trouble with that, and they need to get over it. She was great.
She was awesome. But that whole part should have been Leia, okay?
Exactly.
That would have been
give
the right
Leia thing. That part and have Laura Dern's character basically take the mantle going forward, that Leia had carried.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been cool.
That was a missed opportunity. I'm going to tell you another missed opportunity, and I this is not my idea. I caught this on a YouTube channel. Kevin Smith, he was talking about, I having watched the movie, he probably watched it half a dozen times by the time he said this. He's just that big of a Star Wars fanboy. He said there's a missed opportunity here. When Luke asked, "Where's Han?"
Mm-hmm.
When Chewbacca is standing right there, Chewbacca could have then, they could have given Chewbacca some time to sit there and talk to Luke in his Wookiee language, and the whole story play out on Luke's face. Mark
that
Hamill
would have been awesome.
Mark Hamill awesome. Gotten the story from Chewie, and we see the whole story on his face because we can't understand what Chewbacca is saying, but we could understand the way he's saying it, right? And I think that was a missed opportunity. When Kevin Smith said that, I said, yeah, of course that should have been in there.
Yeah,
I wish that it had. I wish that it had. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
For an extended cut, go back and reshoot that, guys. We're just saying.
that's not a bad idea because they had time. They had time to do things because we spent a lot of time at the casino planet that I feel like could have been better spent doing other things. But that's me. Okay, maybe some people really enjoyed that.
They were setting up the final shot in the movie with the kid.
Yes.
Looking up at the night sky, I think a good part of the casino thing was setting that last shot up.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know.
You might could have set that up.
We might have been able to set that up.
You could have been more efficient. You could have been more efficient with your time and still set that up.
Yeah.
So,
I think so. Well, to me, I got a big problem with Rose. I don't have a problem with the actress. I don't have a problem with the idea of having the character. I just felt that she was there making these points about the kind of social reality of the Star Wars universe that really doesn't fit with our understanding of the Star Wars universe. So it's a bad place for her to have to be as a new character, to be giving us all this. And it just felt a little forced or something. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, the scene where like they release the llama horse cat thing, whatever they are that they're racing on that planet. And she says, now it matters. That it just all rang false for me. Okay. None of that really worked for me very well. And then in the end, after we just saw Admiral Holdo, you know, sacrifice herself to save everyone, to have Finn in the same position, trying to do the same thing, get knocked off his course and have her say, no, we don't do this. I'm like, well, we do this, right? This is exactly
when,
what...
When it's necessary, we absolutely do this.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And now they're coming with the big laser, and you don't know that Luke's about to show up and save the day, right? So,
yeah. You know, she might as well have just said, but you're an A-list character. You know, we can't lose you. You're not a Red Skull.
That would have actually been better. That would have been,
right.
That would have been better because...
You're on the poster. We can't let you do this. So,
because nothing bugs me more than when people say things I agree with and they make a big message out of it and it rings false, right? Because what she says is true, of course. We should protect who we love, not go against who we hate. But it was completely out of place there. Where it would have fit was when they were letting the animal go, right? That's when that line would have made sense. But anyway, we're nitpicking now. I'm sorry. We are.
I had a good time, it's a long movie. It was about 2.5+ hours, right? It's like 2 hours and 37 minutes, something like that.
Yes.
And it's a particularly long Star Wars movie. It didn't seem long while I was in there. I recall, you know, running for the bathroom when it was all over because there was not a scene.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no obvious point to get up in the middle of the movie, right?
Yeah, I think some stuff could have been trimmed, but I'm really glad that they let all the Rey and Luke scenes play, you know, because a lot of that stuff wasn't all that action-packed or anything, but it was good. It was really interesting stuff, and I'm glad it was all in there. So I won't complain too much about the length. And there it is, Last Jedi. 2017, the year in geek. Have we missed anything? Anything important that we should have talked about?
Not much. I enjoyed over the holidays, you know, having just, you know, recently seen that movie, you know, sitting down with the kids and putting together a Lego Millennium Falcon. That was
fun. There you go.
Yeah, it's just stuff like that.
Was it the big? Because I know they do a bunch of those. How big of a Millennium Falcon are we talking about?
This was not the $700, $800 one. That would take up the entire dining room table once assembled. And, you know, it's just, that's just crazy.
I haven't heard an objection yet. What's the problem? You've got a dining room. What you're saying is you've got room for it, Stephen. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. That's my takeaway.
This one is more like a centerpiece on the dining room table.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah.
It was,
as long as you use it that way, right?
The,
have people over and put it there, right? You know, and
this particular one's comparable in size to the toy Millennium Falcon that you may remember from your childhood, Phil. This,
oh yes,
that's the size of this one. It's it was a lot of fun. We put it together in one sitting. That's not possible with the big one. The big one is, you're going to spend a few hours on it every night for a month kind of project.
Right.
That bigger.
Well, one of these days, right?
Maybe.
Something to look forward to in retirement, maybe. Get the big Millennium Falcon.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. We've gone long, but how could we not? Trying to do year's worth of geek outs. And gosh, next time we talk, Stephen, it'll be our 700th show. Looking forward to that.
Why do we keep doing it? Why do we not fade away like so many podcasts? Because we just love doing it that much. We give ourselves a chance to have fun with it, and we do. And so I hope that comes across. And
it's been a fun 699 shows, that's for sure. Looking forward to several hundred more, at least.
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
Well, thank you all for being with us. We will be back with our 700th show next week. Great talking with you, Stephen. And until next time, live to see it. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.